you can be a really good role model, a good example, and do things right, you can inspire the next generation to understand that they can do it as well.
This is The Playbook.
You wouldn't believe it, but I have an extraordinary entrepreneur who also, by the way, is a former MLB All-Star, also an investor in an extraordinary company. It's time to get lit right after 4th of July, LIT method, the lit method. It's low impact training. And him personally, I know, has experience in understanding how to rehabilitate utilizing low impact training, and has now created one of the best methods and strength machines, the first all-in-one water rower, I think is the best way to describe it. Pilates reformer and strength trainer. Adrian, welcome to The Playbook.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And yeah, I mean, you know, when it comes to the lit machine, it's definitely an all-in-one full body workout. You can, you know, it's a rower, it's a Pilates machine, it's a full body workout machine. It's all in one, and it's all like it's called a low impact training style of a workout.
Yeah, and I've had Justin and Taylor, two of your co-founders, on several of my other shows as well, and I got really excited coming from, you know, I ran a notable sports agency called Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, and keeping my players on the field was essential not only to their livelihood but mine as well. What were some of the aspects through your career that you looked at and why you were so excited about working with Justin and Taylor Norris on the LIT method and creating the LIT strength training machine?
I think, you know, the best way to explain it is early on in my career, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, all the workouts were all old school Olympic style, deadlifts and squats and chest press and, you know, all the Olympic style lift methods that I grew up knowing. And towards the end of my career, towards the last 5 years of my career, I started noticing, you know, my hip joints, my knees, my back, you know, starting to get weak because of so much, I guess, power or weights that were put on them throughout my previous years. And, that's when I started getting a lot into, you know, what we call now is low impact training, which is Pilates and you know, different workouts. I would do a lot of my cardio, you know, on the bike or rowing and boxing and different things that are not putting heavy weights on your lower half. And then when I discovered the LIT method, you know, I thought it was, you know, just a genius idea of how to get all-in-one workout, you know, where you're not putting stress on your joints, you're not putting stress on your back, on your knees, and all these things. And one thing I know is that riding a bike is not great for your hips, it's not great for your back, it's not great for your knees. You know, rowing is a great exercise, but rowing alone can tend to get boring. So when you have an ability to, I'm a huge Pilates guy. I did Pilates for a few years there, leading up to the end of my career. And so when you're able to put all those mechanisms that are great for your body, great for strength, great for conditioning, into one machine, it's a home run. So not to sound too punish in that sense.
I like it, man. And one of the other puns, no intention as well, is when you played both for the Padres and the Dodgers, you had this philosophy of going big or going home, which is probably why, you know, you put so much stress on your body. You had the great mindset, the great heart set, but you had the work ethic, and, you know, that adds up and compounds over the years. Yeah. It's a lot easier though to handle physically a business philosophy of go big or go home. But emotionally it has its own tolls as well. How has that philosophy carried over into the business world? You have so many entrepreneurial ventures that you're involved with, but it seems to me you still carry that kind of go big or go home attitude.
I do. No, I do. When I believe in a product, the first thing you have to do is you have to believe in the product, and it has to be a really good product. You know, when it comes to business, it's not about the storytelling, although that's exactly what will get people to know about the product. But once they try the product, they'll see that if the product's not quality, they're going to try it, but they're not going to go back to it. So I'm a firm believer in only getting involved in products that I believe in, products that are great products and products that do deliver what they say they are going to deliver. And so, everything I'm involved in has those components. And for me, that's what I stick to and that's what I believe in. And so Lit Method is one of those things that does deliver exactly what we say we deliver. Along with with the other companies and brands that I'm involved with.
And you do get involved in brands. Your wife gets involved with brands. You are a serial entrepreneur, but yet, as an executive coach worldwide, one of the difficult things is to transition either athletes or people who have very stringent routines for many, many years. I will tell you that baseball players, especially because of the amount of games that are played and how long they played, most baseball players started, 5 or 6 years old into a regimen and a schedule. How difficult was the transition from baseball into business?
I always tell people and friends, the hardest thing to transition was actually keeping a calendar. And it's still kind of tough for me. Keeping a calendar has been the hardest thing is, you talk to people and they're like, hey, can you do this on this day? And you're like, yeah, I can do it. And then you never put it on the calendar. And then it's like, you get that call or that email, like, hey, you're going to jump on the call? And you're like, sure, yeah, for sure. And you totally have forgotten about it. That's been the hardest thing, I think, relationships, we're used to it with baseball, meeting so many people all over the U.S. as we travel and everything. Conversation is all kind of, works hand in hand with sports. But our calendar was the schedule for the baseball season. And all we needed to see is that schedule and see what time that game was. And we know we had to show up 5 to 6 hours before that game started. And that's our schedule, In the off season, we know we have to get a workout in, and you can get it in whenever you want. But in business, everybody has a schedule and everybody's like, hey, 11 a.m. on the dot because I got a heart out at 11:30. And it's just like those things, that's like the hardest thing for me. And everybody says like, hey, you need an assistant to keep your calendar. And I was like, no, I got to work on this. I got to get this right because if not, I'll never learn. So that's been the hardest transition, honestly.
Well, I know my community's laughing because they know me for one complete critical business issue, which is being a student of your calendar. So after this, I will send you, I have an exercise called Student of the Calendar, paying attention, and giving intention to the coincidences you want by being productive, accessible, and gracious by reconciling the time. So really, but just as a note to everyone out there, although he's making fun of himself a little bit with his calendar, this guy was right on time, just like a normal athlete. My clock ticked exactly to 10 a.m. Pacific time and boom, he was in the studio, in the green room immediately. So it can't be that big of an issue. I know you push yourself to your potential.
There's plenty of times when I overlap, trust me.
Yeah, it's today, dangerous telling yes. Especially when it's the family and you don't think about putting it in the calendar and then it's some relative going, hey, can you show up to my kid's birthday? Oh yeah, I'll be there. And then all of a sudden, you're like at some other wedding. On how you get involved, a lot of players don't prepare themselves, and fair enough, in being focused in on their primary objective, which is to be the greatest they can be playing the game that they love. How did you get involved in the business world and when did you get involved?
So my first step into the business, which is probably, the one that I'm most involved in right now today is when I got into Jersey Mike's. I got in probably right around 2014 ish, about 4 years before I retired. And I got in as a silent investor and from there it grew to what it is now, which I'm the majority owner of our, of our stores of being a franchisee. And currently we, our company owns 14 Jersey Mike's stores in Northern San Diego, Palm Springs, Coachella Valley, and Guadalajara, Mexico. So we're growing. We have more in construction, and the plan to get to probably, hopefully, if everything goes well and everything checks out, try to get to 25 to 30 stores, and then settle down.
Nice. I love it. And, you know, it's interesting because owning all those business, you're facing today some of the most or biggest critical business issues, which is recruitment and retention. And incorporated in that, obviously, is having great training. What's your approach, you know, coming from the sports background of hiring, firing, training, and retention of those employees, getting up to 14 stores right now and with another 11 on your dream board?
Honestly, we have a great operator. His name's Ken, and Ken does a great job. And you know, we follow Jersey Mike's protocol to a T. You know, they're a great organization, a great brand. Obviously, you know what I talked about, believing in the great product. And so Jersey Mike's has created a great training mechanism, and Ken follows it, you know, by the book. And so when it comes to the training and the hiring and everything, it's 100% following Jersey Mike's protocol. And you know, myself and my accountant Randy are involved in the day to day with conversations that we have with Ken on everything that happens. But when it comes to you know, the entire training and you know, the hiring, and you know, when it has to be done, the firing and all that, it's all up to Ken, and he just informs us of what's happening and why it's happening.
And, you know, being an entrepreneur obviously has its setbacks, its failures and mistakes. I always say that out of all athletes, baseball players make the best entrepreneurs because they are the most well-versed as well practiced in failure. As everybody should know, at least, that, you know, the greatest baseball players in history, like the Tony, Adrian Gonzalez is, I was going to say Tony Gonzalez, who's a football player, but Adrian Gonzalez is in the Tony Gwynn's. You know, they failed a lot more than they succeeded. And that mindset of being able to learn from the failures and move forward, how important was that in the ups and downs of being an entrepreneur? Because I know you have Calidad, you have Jersey Mike's, we have Lit. And I'm sure, I've never met an entrepreneur, I'm sure you're not batting 1,000 when it comes to business.
You know what? It's what you're saying. Failure is a great example of, you know, perseverance. So you have to continue to persevere, and you have to continue to push through and not give up. I think a lot of people go into a business, and the minute, you know, it doesn't look good, they just like they check out and they want to go on to the next. A lot of times businesses for celebrities or athletes, it's more of a hobby. It's not really like they're getting into it because they want to be in it. They're just kind of, you know, it's a much of a emotional play than it is an actual, you know, business involvement in it. The other thing that makes baseball so good at running businesses and just, you know, and understanding things and how life works is the minor leagues. I think when it comes to basketball, you talk about football, you talk about these other sports, they go from college or wherever they get drafted from straight to the big leagues. There's no minor leagues. And for me, being a first overall pick, I still spend 3.5 years in the minor leagues. And, you know, you get humbled, you get to experience things that you don't see the glory days right away. I mean, there's a lot of struggles, you know, there was a pitcher this year that not too long ago that made it to the major leagues. He was the first overall pick, but made it to the major leagues. I think it was like 9 years after he was drafted, and he didn't want to be that guy. You know, there's been 2 first overall picks that never made it. He didn't want to be on that list as well. So, you know, you think about basketball or football, number one overall pick, you know, he's going right to being a superstar. In baseball, it doesn't work that way. There's no guarantee that you're going to make it. You have to go through the minor leagues. You have to struggle. You have to grind, and you have to persevere. And in the other sports, you don't do that. So I think that's a great component on baseball, on, you know, teaching you a lot of great life lessons.
Yeah. And there's a lot of great life lessons as well as being an entrepreneur. For you, what's one of those lessons of patience, you know, because the same way in baseball, there's no overnight successes. Everybody forgets how much work you have to put in and continue to put in to be at the top and stay at the top. But I think it's especially pertinent as being an entrepreneur. What was one of the biggest lessons that you learned that may not have been anticipated when you started doing business, either in vetting, investing, or some other aspect of business that was surprising to you?
I think, you know, one of the things I ended up doing was, and I did it during COVID because, you know, we all had the time. I took a finance class from the Harvard Business School online. took a finance class, so I could understand when somebody sent me over a deck and the projections and all the financial stuff that they were sending me. I would always pretend to look at it and be like, oh yeah, I know what it is, you know, but I really didn't know what it was. And so I wanted to take a finance class just so I could understand everything that had to do with that, with those projections. Cause you know, as a professional athlete, you get sent decks and opportunities to invest all the time. But a lot of the times, you know, it's these, you know, what people do is they blow up their projections, they blow up their sales, and it's all based on things that they think they can do. But you know, you have to understand that there's a market out there for what they're doing. There's a market share, there's other companies, and all that stuff is public as well. So you can compare and see if those projections are real or they're just blown up to make it look good. So, you know, that's a lot of the things that I've learned, that when you do get an opportunity to invest, it's not how pretty they paint the picture. It's actually getting into the guts of it and finding out is this something that's viable and is it real, and is it, and are they people that you can trust moving forward?
You know, last question, you played in the league for 15 years at the highest level and beyond on the field exploits and success. You're well known. I had mentioned Tony Gwynn, who was a key individual in the San Diego community with Alan Trammell, San Diego School of Baseball, and all the things that he meant to me as a kid in giving back. And you, out of everyone next to Tony Gwynn, has had the same impact on both San Diego and the Los Angeles community. It seems to me as if it's a priority to you to live your life as an example, especially to young minority men and women, girls and boys, that can only achieve when they see people who are sitting in a situation they want to be in. It's a lot easier to say, oh, you know, if my hero went to East Lake and he came out and he owns all these stores now and he's a great business person, a philanthropist. How important is it to give back to your community, being someone that has come from, you know, Southern San Diego as well as Mexico and now Los Angeles as well, being an icon and being a role model, whether it's intentional or not?
Being a role model, the intention is to do things right and be a good person, right? I mean, that's, you know, no matter what, don't, you know, that for me, that's a biblical way of living. It's a human, you know, way of living where, you know, I have to do what I say and be that person of integrity. So being a role model is very important. So, you know, that goes right into business for me. I always try to be intentional. I have integrity. If I tell somebody something, I stick with it. My word is something that people have to understand that there's value in it. And I'm just not just throwing things around and saying things that are not true. It's part of life, and being a minority, it's a very big thing that you have to always be conscious of, because for me, it's you're being an example for everybody out there that's watching, and if you can be a really good role model, a good example, and do things right, you can inspire that the next generation to understand that they can do it as well. It is something that I do carry with me and I do think about all the time, and because it is important, especially in the day and age that we live in.
Well, I'll tell you this, as someone who's watched your entire career and comes from that same area, I know a lot of teams had to intentionally walk you because they were terrified when you came up with runners on base, but you intentionally walk the walk and don't just talk the talk. And that's your character and reputation in Southern California and in Mexico and around the world. There's no doubt why you're so successful on and off the field. Everybody check out the Lit Method. Anything Tony, here we go. I'm going to say Tony Gwynn. Anything Adrian Gonzalez touches again has that incredible higher standard attached to it. And he has the experience and the knowledge to know what personal training should be, therapy, injury prevention given by the Lit strength training method and machine. Adrian, it's been an absolute pleasure and honor. I'm super excited to have you. Please come back and join me again.